Portichello Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Jill Protzel from Copper Harbor's One Room Schoolhouse. Jill is an amazing educator that teaches students from pre-K through 7th grade. Jill went over, above, and beyond during COVID shutdowns and still does today. You would not believe how much extra time she took to make sure that all the children received what was needed while teaching virtually. If you know an amazing educator like Jill, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome to Copper Country Today on this Sunday. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is always brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can find out more about them at phfgive.org. The ice is barely off the Portage, and we're already anticipating our first special boat visit for the summer. Sea Change Expeditions will be arriving here in the Copper Country and is going to set up camp along the Houghton waterfront for a few days. And I thought we'd find out what they're all about, what they're doing here, and what they hope to accomplish. So I've got a whole bunch of people that we are welcoming in by phone here, starting with the captain, Mark Gordon, and his wife, Katya Gordon. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And we have several of their crew members whom we're going to meet through the broadcast as well here. We'll give them each a chance to pop in. But Captain Mark, let me start with you. Why? Give me the thumbnail sketch. What is Sea Change Expeditions?
Well, Sea Change Expeditions is a nonprofit sailing program, I guess, and climate change program. We started back in 2014. And really what we wanted to do was just, our mission was sort of to advance the discussion of climate change on Lake Superior and the boreal forests, and to, you know, just try to bring awareness to what was happening with our lakes and our forests. And you know, in 2014, you might hear about climate change, you know, once a month on the news or something like that. It wasn't something that was on most people's radar. It was just starting to become, you know, known and something to talk about. And so really our, you know, our first sets of programs, and we started out, we were just going to do 3 years. We were going to circumnavigate the lake over the course of three different Mays and talk to as many people as we could in as many ports as we could. And so we ended up doing that, but we had such a strong support group just telling us to, you know, you can't stop now, you got to keep doing this. And each year, of course, climate change would become more and more of an issue. More and more people were hearing about it. And as the years went on, you know, our whole sort of approach and what we talked about just organically changed, because as more people knew about climate change and understood about it, you know, it became less about, you know, what is climate change and how is it affecting the lake, to, you know, what can we do about it, you know, on a on personal levels, on, you know, community levels, political levels, and all of that sort of thing. And then eventually we narrowed down our audience as well. We started out talking to a lot of community centers, you know, and just, you know, libraries, breweries, anybody who would take us. But now we really focus on junior high and high school groups, elementary groups, just going right into the classroom and really trying to get groups to come down to the boat, where it's much more sort of experiential. And we've also kind of narrowed our focus to, you know, we still talk a lot about climate change, but we also talk a lot about aquatic invasive species and microplastic pollution and how those are all related to climate change and how those are all becoming a big issue, you know, on Lake Superior. So,
yeah, I have been amazed at how the conversation has changed over the years, because I'm old enough. I go back to, well, I was in high school when Verna Mize first started her battle with the taconite tailings. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, this was a point at which we pretty much dump anything you wanted to into Lake Superior and the other Great Lakes and didn't worry about it. And it became then a big, kind of big pollution issue. Now we've kind of gotten more towards a small pollution issue, the microplastics in particular. Some of the other things we were talking on the air in a different context the other day about drugs, antibiotics, things of that nature getting into the waters. We're talking about very small forms of pollution now, aren't we?
We are. I mean, all the way down to the microscopic, and And there's definitely, you know, a plastic issue, pollution issue on the lake, and not just, you know, in the bays of plastic bags and stuff washing up onto the streams, but it's pretty much everywhere in the water column now. I mean, you can dip a bucket into the water almost anywhere, and there's a good chance you're going to find some, you know, micro plastic fibers or some sort of fiber, microplastics in that water sample. So,
Katya, is it hard to make that point when you dip down that bucket of water and it comes out nice and clear looking to say that, hey, there's stuff in here that can hurt you?
Not as hard as you'd think. I mean, I just think kids are smart. And, you know, this morning we just did a 30-second cleanup with a sixth grade class. And in that 30 seconds, you know, they picked up an entire garbage bag worth of trash that was mostly plastic, enough to fit in a grocery bag. And, you know, we sort of sifted through it and said, you know, this, Mark said, the problem isn't what this is at right now. The problem is, what is this going to look like in 1 year, in 10 years, 100 years? And then we kind of, and you can see the kids really, I mean, they get it. They can examine that this is going to break down and break down and break down, but it's never going to turn into dirt. And where is it going if it's not going where it's supposed to go? It goes into the lake. And, you know, we also just talk about a lot about microfibers. That's one of the big growing issues of Lake Superior. And, you know, it's not a blame thing. I mean, we look at our own clothes. We look at the kids' clothes. We're all wearing microfibers. And, you know, there's no filters between us and the lake. So depending on how often you wash your clothes, you know, we really try to bring it home to, this is a solvable problem and how to solve it. I mean, we really resist the whole idea of just total doom and gloom and it's all hopeless. So we never really talk about problems without talking about the equivalent solutions. And I think that's been a key to our success, really, and a reason why teachers really love us and keep asking us to come back.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of the specific things you'll be doing here in the Copper Country in just a few minutes, talking with Katya Gordon and Mark Gordon from Sea Change Expeditions, who will be arriving here in the Copper Country. And I want to bring in some of the people who are working with you, young people. Let's start with Pearl, who comes from a land that's known for its vast expanses of water, Iowa. Pearl, what got you interested in our big body of water?
Yeah, no doubt. I kind of caught a wind and landed in Northland College. So I'm on the big lake in Ashland, Wisconsin. And then soon I was kind of like rushed into the gushing love of water, man. Yeah, it was like outstanding how embraced I was by the community and those community members' love for the lake. And then my I'm pretty invested in this lake. So
Pearl, what has most surprised you as you've begun to study the lake?
Right on. I would say how so many different entities of people come together over their like similar connection or relationship to the lake. And so I just find I learned so much from all these different perspectives who are grounded in this water body and how our lives are so interwoven in water.
Yeah, it is essential. I've been watching some things on television about the terrible shortage they have out on the West Coast of the United States, thinking how fortunate we are to have so much wonderful water here. Thank you, Pearl, for your information. Let's bring in Tegan, who is from Nova Scotia, where the big bodies of water have salt in them instead of like ours, which only have microplastics. Tegan, what brought you to this project?
Hello. So I go to university up in Lakehead, which means that I live in Thunder Bay half the year, on the Great Lake of, or the great body of water of Lake Superior. So this project, I just am really looking forward to spending a lot of time on the water. Lake Superior wasn't something that I grew up with, but I did grow up right beside the ocean. So I know a lot about climate change in the ocean. And a lot of the impacts of that, but I'm looking forward to learning about it with the lake as well and applying that to my studies and my life and helping kids understand the same issues and what we experience out here on the lake.
As you've gotten started with this, what differences have you seen between the evolution of Lake Superior and the evolution of the Atlantic Ocean?
That's a really good question. You know, I'm looking forward to learning a lot about the differences as we haven't really gotten out on the lake too much yet. I think some The smell. Yeah, the smell.
Yes.
Definitely different. I'll say that. I'd really like to learn about like overfishing. I know overfishing is a huge issue in the ocean.
Yeah, we get a little bit of that in Lake Superior as well, but we don't have any sharks.
No sharks.
Yes, we're very happy about that. Thank you, Tegan. Abby is a veteran, Anne Marais, Minnesota. So you know about Lake Superior, I would assume, Abby, that you've spent a lot of time near the lake. Why did you decide to study it further?
Hi, I work for Coldwater Foundation in Grand Marais, Minnesota, and we also work with students, giving them some experiential education. So we're based in the Boundary Waters, and I think I just really wanted to learn how to explore a new kind of wilderness on Lake Superior. It does come with its own set of challenges, and also getting to interact with the kids around the lake and how they can see climate change in their own backyard. I think Mark and Katya do a great job of making it relatable and making it important to them and experiential.
You're kind of the opposite of Tegan then. Tegan comes to a smaller body of water in Lake Superior. If you've been working in the Boundary Waters, this is a larger body of water, I assume, than you're somewhat used to working with.
It's a lot larger. I'm used to being in a canoe. And we've talked about taking a canoe out on Lake Superior, and it's just not something that's very safe.
You can do that carefully in certain places.
Yeah. True.
Come down to the southern end of Keweenaw Bay. We'll set you out. The ice has gone, so we can set you out there. Abby, thank you. And let's introduce Catherine, who is a student at Ashland College. Am I right about that, Catherine?
Northland College in Ashland.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Are you from the Lake Superior area, or are you kind of an import?
Yeah, I'm from Shakopee, Minnesota, originally, just a bit south of the cities.
Okay, so you're familiar with the Great Lakes, but you weren't in your backyard.
No, not so close.
What made you decide to hook up with this?
Yeah, I just really believe in flourishing. And I think that the lake teaches us a lot about flourishing. And I know that it's really easy to get bogged down in how sometimes hopeless climate change can feel. But I think that the lake reminds me how to hope and how to love and how to hope through action and through the work of this community. And I feel so honored to be able to be doing that work with kiddos. It feels like the best month and best opportunity in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want hope, you can be as old as I am and remember the day when at one point there were on Lake Erie, absolutely, there was one open swimming beach. Every Wow. other swimming beach on the lake had been closed. There was one open, and it was at Cedar Point. And I kept wondering how much money the people at Cedar Point had paid somebody under the table to keep them there. Because every other beach on Lake Superior was closed because the lake was so polluted. It was so dead. And it has made a remarkable comeback. We haven't solved all of our problems, and we keep learning about new ones, but we have made some progress. And so I agree with you. There is reason to hope for all of this. Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Abby, and thank you, Tegan, and thank you, Pearl, and we look forward to all of you coming into the Copper Country over the next few days. So, Captain Mark Gordon, let me bring you back in here. You've talked about three different aspects that you work on with your sea change expeditions, boat and crew. You talked about climate change, invasive species, and pollution. The pollution, mostly what you're focusing on now is kind of the smaller stuff.
Yeah, we do several different things. Like when we're out on the lake, we actually, we have a net that we will, on calm days, we will troll a net behind to see if we can, pick up visible pieces. We're going to spend 10 days, or so going around Isle Royale on this trip. And as part of that, we will be going into some of the deeper bays and just collecting any kind of plastic trash that we see. We'll find plastic bags, buckets, you know, tarps, fishing line, you know, whatever, that just ends up getting washed up on the shore. So we collect stuff like that. And we have a microscope, you know, on board. And so we'll take water samples and see if we can find some of the smaller microplastics and that sort of thing. And so what we call that is just citizen science. And because we're not scientists, but we're very interested in keeping the lake clean, cold, and clear is our motto. And so we just do a variety of things towards that. And then we build those experiences and bring them into the classroom. And so when a school group, for instance, comes down to the boat, if we're in a calm, you know, marina type area, we'll launch the dinghy and troll for microplastics right in the marina with a couple kids in the dinghy, kind of a thing, you know. So we try to be real experiential like that too. So,
and I think one of the reasons we really focus on plastic pollution is because we see it as one of the easiest to solve, you know, especially for kids. And we focus especially on single-use plastic. And, you know, most of the plastic that is the problem in the world is actually single-use plastic. So it's both, you know, a big problem and a very low-hanging fruit for solutions. And it works really well for kids.
I've talked with members of one of the local divers club who go out every summer and do some scanning along the bottom of the bay at Copper Harbor. And it's just really disturbing the amount of stuff and the kind of stuff they find down there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we'll be going to Copper Harbor as well. We're going to hopefully end up in the Portage Canal next week and then up in the Copper Harbor. We're even going to a tiny one-room schoolhouse up there. So I don't know, maybe we'll do a little diving down and see for ourselves what you're talking about.
Yeah, the Copper Harbor School is a great little school, by the way. You'll enjoy that.
Yes, we've been there before. We love them.
What is your schedule as you come in? I know that you have one open to the public thing that you have put together, and this is going to be Monday or tomorrow as we air this on Sunday morning. This will be tomorrow, Monday, the 9th of May at 6:30 at the Portage Lake District Library, and you and your crew will be there, and folks can come and meet you and talk to you in person.
Absolutely. And we have a kind of a presentation we like to give that shows a lot of this is sort of more adult centered, although kids are certainly welcome. But we have a lot of slides we show both of our own work and of just the data that we have gleaned from the different universities around the lake, including Michigan Tech. Actually, we've gotten quite a bit of stuff from them, too. And we also invite people to come to our boat. Our boat will be docked just, you know, less than a quarter mile away from the library. And we should be there for, you know, a couple days in there, and people often swing by and we give them a little tour and show them how 8 people can live on in a room the size of a large bathroom. It's a great sort of combo to, you know, to sail in and do a presentation. It's just a lot more fun and I think a lot more appealing to people than coming in a van. So it's a really fun program. I hope people show up.
Well, and you'll be our first boat visitor of the summer, as I mentioned, because the ice has just gone
out.
Glad
to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think at this point, I'm not sure you could get out the lower entrance yet. I don't
know
if things.
That's what we hear. I don't think we're going to attempt it.
No, I don't know if things will have melted. We're recording this on Tuesday. But it could be that it'll open up by then, or could be that it won't. We'll see what happens. But at least you'll be able to get in through the upper entrance. And what other things then do you have planned? Do you have classes that you're going to be talking to besides the school up in Grant Township?
Yeah. So on our way there from here, we're stopping in the Apostle Island area, and we'll be doing a similar program to schools in Washburn. And there's a couple other schools that are maybe going to come. They're not confirmed yet. So we don't quite know how many schools, but definitely at least one big program in Washburn, Wisconsin. And then in Houghton, we're still looking for another school. We have a day with the Lake Linden School. They're kind of tried and true. They've been with us many years. And then we go up to Copper Harbor, and then we shoot across to Isle Royale, and we sort of take our you know, we always say we want to save the earth, but we also want to savor the earth. So that's our savoring week, where we get to sail around Isle Royale and do a lot of hiking and study some Arctic disjunct plants and do some kayaking and really have a fun group experience. And then we land in Grand Marais for our final week, and we work with all the schools along the North Shore, Grand Marais, Silver Bay, Two Harbors, and Knife River here. So So we have a full month planned.
Excellent. Well, we've talked about some of the pollution issues. We talked about the climate change issue a bit. We haven't touched on the invasive species, as I'm talking with Katya Gordon and Mark Gordon from Sea Change Expeditions. What are you just talking about teaching and sharing about the invasive species who have come into the lake?
Yeah, well, we give a little history of how, you know, invasives get onto the lake, and we talk about how water temperature right now has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, the lower Great Lakes, all of them, they have like an aquatic invasive nightmare going on. They have like over 180 different invasives, and, you know, Lake Superior right now has about half that many, and largely because of the colder water temperatures. But we tend to focus on some of the bigger threats, you know, how climate change is impacting the sea lamprey population in the lake, how now we're finding, you know, numbers of reproducing populations of zebra mussels, and even some quagga mussels now were found down in the Apostle Islands. And I would, you know, personally call that one of the biggest threats. We even have zebra mussels out on Isle Royal now. And you know, those were brought up on boats coming from the lower Great Lakes. That's how they got here on actually pleasure boats, not even the freighters. And there's another one called the spiny water flea that we talk about. And so, yeah. And so then we also just talk about, you know, what can we do about, how can we stop the spread and those sorts of things, and just really try to connect the dots, you know, to climate change and how, as the lake warms, it just will open the door to more and more invasives that will be able to survive that come up from the lower Great Lakes. And we also talk about terrestrial invasives around the area as well, and how climate is, you know, the warming climate is opening the door for more and more terrestrial invasives.
Is there a timetable that you are seeing in terms of global warming Lake Superior to the point where we have to be a little more concerned about some of these pests that have become a problem in the southern lakes?
Yeah, well, that would have been a little while ago.
Oh, I mean, okay.
it's here. It's happening. This isn't something that we're concerned about happening 10 years or 100 years from now. I mean, there's many effects of climate happening to Lake Superior. I mean, it's depending upon how you measure it. It's you know, either the first, second, or third fastest warming great or large lake in the world. You know, so and its whole ecosystem is based on being very cold and. So, you know, things are changing. It's the lake actually is warming, I think, twice the rate of the air. So it's something that's happening right now, and we're seeing lots of impacts right now. You know, it's not something that's going to be happening. It's happening right now.
Impacts. Well, I think we do really try to stay away from predictions, just because we know we don't know the future. And we feel it's pretty, you know, it's so basic what's actually happening. So we do tend to stick to sort of what's happening right now. And we do look at the lower lakes and say, wow, they have a much bigger problem, but we certainly don't make predictions. I guess that's a fair statement.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that under any circumstances, I think. And not only, of course, will the warming water affect the potential for invasive species, but I assume it will also affect the lifestyles of the species that have been here for centuries.
Right. Well, including us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we definitely, yeah, we go into all of that, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, by definition, an invasive species coming into the lake is going to, you know, impact greatly, you know, like the sea lamprey is a good example, how it practically wiped out the entire lake trout population in all the Great Lakes, you know, before they got under control. And so that's why we should be concerned about invasives coming in and just really disrupting the food chain.
Yeah, and we still work very hard on keeping those sea lampreys under control. I know we've got some treatments of tributary streams scheduled for the next few weeks here in the Copper Country as they keep trying to keep them from damaging the fishery the way that they did many, many years ago when they first came in. Talking with Katya Gordon and Captain Mark Gordon from Sea Change Expeditions. Once again, if you'd like to meet these folks and their crew, they will be at the Portage Lake District Library tomorrow night as we broadcast this on Sunday. They'll be there Monday, May 9th at 6:30, or just kind of look for them on the Houghton waterfront over the next couple of days. And if you see them, I guess you can just kind of walk up and wave and say hi.
That's right. Yeah, we absolutely welcome anyone to come down and visit. We'll probably be docked down at the skateboard park down there, just down towards the lake, I guess, or towards the lower entrance, about a quarter mile from the library.
All right, very good. Well, they also have a website. It is seachangeexpeditions.org if you would like to know more. And Mark and Katya, and also Pearl, Tegan, Abby, and Catherine, thank you for your time on Copper Country Today.
Thank you so much for having us. I can't wait to see some more youpers in next week. We're really looking forward to it.